couldn't live according to faith by God. What did they do instead? In verse 11, he says, if a man should walk in a false spirit and speak a lie, saying, I will prophesy to you of wine and drink, even he would be the prattler of this people. The point he's making is you reject the true prophets, but if someone came and said, don't worry about leaving this, don't worry about any destruction, I'm going to prophesy wine and drink, he's going to be your prophet. That's the one that you take. And isn't it the case that people don't really change? We talked about that piece of pie that we said we want. And the doctor might say, you better stay away from sugar or you're going to lose the rest of that foot. You're going to lose that leg. And you say, no, but I want it. And you might go to another doctor just to be able to get permission to eat whatever you want. And you look back at 2 Timothy chapter 4 and you find that Paul was warning against this very thing regarding teachers of Scripture, false teachers of God's Word. He says in verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own destruction, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. It's the same thing that was talked about back here in Micah. You don't like the truth, so you're going to find a prophet that says something you like, and that's going to be your prophet. We need to be so careful that because we hear something we don't like, we don't reject it outright, but we compare it with God's Word. And if we see something in God's Word that conflicts with our lives, we change our lives in every way necessary so that we can enter into the promise of rest that He's given us. And finally, we need to be so careful that we're not trading our inheritance, we're not trading prophets, but we most certainly must not trade kings. And that's what we read of here in the end of this chapter. He talks about really the king who has won. There's not much space here for the king who's lost in verses 12 and 13. Why is that? Well, everything that they've done apart from God has shown over and over it ends in failure. The prince of the powers of the air that's talked about in Ephesians chapter 3, the prince of this world, John 8, who is a murderer and a liar from the beginning, Satan, he's going to lose. And anyone who thinks they're following their way, what they want, even if they think it's the right way, if it's not what God taught, they're going to lose. He talks about the king who wins. He says, I will surely assemble all of you, O Jacob. I will surely gather the remnant of Israel. I will put them together like sheep of the fold. That word's Basra. Basra was a city southwest of the Dead Sea, between that and Petra, and it was known for its sheepfolds. Isaiah 34:6 talks about all the sheep of Basra. And he's saying, you know how Basra is known to have all these sheep gathered up? He's saying, I'm going to gather you. And that's significant because Jacob, the northern kingdom, is never going to come back together as a nation on this earth. But God says there's going to be a time where I'm going to gather you another way. I'm going to gather you like the sheep in Basra. In the midst of their pasture, they shall make a loud noise because of so many people. It's going to be huge. Then he talks about this king. The one who breaks open will come up before them. Now this breaking open is used of breaking in city gates and destroying. But in this case, this is breaking out of something. Where were the people? They were in captivity all over the world. In John 8, Jesus is going to say, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And they're going to say, we've never been in bondage to any man. But the fact was that anyone who's bound by sin is a slave of sin. Each of these was bound by sin, and they were lost in death. And he's saying, this one's going to break you out. They will break out, pass through the gate, and go out by it. They're stuck in somewhere, and they're going to be leaving. The opposite of the one who usually breaks a gate. They're going to break out of the gate. Their king will pass before them, the Lord at their head. Now, how did that happen? Whenever you come back into Acts chapter 2, we find Peter's preaching of Jesus. And in talking about him, he says, men of Israel, hear these words, verse 22. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you for miracles and wonders and signs which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands and have crucified and put to death, whom God raised up, having loosed or destroyed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. It wasn't possible that Jesus could be bound by sin because he never sinned. It wasn't possible that Jesus could be bound and restricted by death since he was never deserving of death. And as God in the flesh, he could die on our behalf so that he could free us too. And that's what's being alluded to back in Micah chapter 2. We're presented with two kings, one who's not named, who's not spoken of in Micah 2, and the other one who's spoken of as delivering from our bonds. Which one will we choose? We all have a choice, and it's presented to us every day. Not as vividly as it was here in Matthew chapter 27, but we should certainly be challenged and convicted by this. In Matthew 27, the people had the choice between Barabbas and Jesus. It says in verse 15, "Now at the feast, the governor was accustomed to releasing to the multitude the prisoner whom they wished. And at that time, they had a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they had gathered together, Pilate said to them, 'Whom do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called the Christ?' For he knew that they had handed him over because of envy." Verse 19, "While he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent to him, saying, 'Have nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things today in a dream because of him.' But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitudes that they should ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said to them, 'Which of the two do you want me to release to you?' They said, 'Barabbas.' Pilate said to them, 'What then shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ?' They all said to him, 'Let him be crucified.' Then the governor said, 'Why? What evil has he done?' But they cried out all the more, saying, 'Let him be crucified.' When Pilate saw that he could not prevail at all, but rather that a tumult was rising, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, 'I am innocent of the blood of this just person. You see to it.' And all the people answered and said, 'His blood be on us and on our children.' Then he released Barabbas to them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified." We're never presented with a choice, perhaps, between Jesus and not Jesus as vividly as this. But every day we face the same choice. Who is going to be king of your life? If you choose anyone else, you reject Jesus. If we choose anyone else, we reject all the prophecies that God has sent before us to point to his Son, including the one right there in Micah chapter 2. If we reject him, we reject our inheritance. For whatever it is we think we might gain in this earth, we lose eternity. Let's make sure we don't try to put God in a position where we're expecting him to shout us down and return insult for insult, because he's going to give us a chance to choose whatever we want. And then, which will you choose? If today you need our prayers of encouragement as an erring saint, or you just need our encouragement because you're struggling, we're here to pray for you. If you haven't put Christ on in baptism, choose him today as your king, the one to live for in your life, who has all authority to live for him until you would die, so that you can live with him forever. If that be your choice today, have a seat up front and let us know as we stand and sing the invitation song.